The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
What do you do when out of nowhere an unexpected wave hits you? You know, what's your first response when your feet are knocked out from underneath you and you can hardly breathe? These experiences are outside the normal day-to-day challenges that you and I face because they're places that we've never been before.
Sheila Walsh encourages you to go boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Next.
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. I'm so glad you determined to spend this time with us. In fact, I got a couple of really sweet notes over the last few weeks. One gentleman wrote that he has to go for kidney dialysis, and he says that they each have little TV monitors. And while he's sitting there having that procedure take place, he watches our show and encourages him. So if you're watching today, just know that we care for you and we've been praying for you. Another lady said that when she is getting her chemo for breast cancer, she sits and watches too. Don't you love that? That's one of the great things about television or, you know, even with our computers, that we can connect. Because I just want you to know you're never alone. Sometimes we feel alone, but God is with you. You are never alone, and you have a lot of people, not just me, a lot of people here at Life Today who care for you. I'm excited to spend the next few weeks talking about prayer. I think there's nothing more important than us understanding the power of prayer, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or 10 minutes. This is a weapon that God has given us. But there's some questions, and so I want to address a few of the questions that you have kind of let me know through social media or in mail. And this is one. Have you ever spent a season in intense prayer over an issue and the burden is simply not getting any lighter? You know, you've been persistent, as Scripture talks about, you've been relentless, but the burden you're carrying is actually getting heavier. And then you realize that more than an answer to prayer, what you really need is the presence of God. That rings true so deep within me. You know, there's times in life when an answer isn't enough. What we need is the overwhelming presence of God. Because an answered prayer might give information, but God's presence gives peace no matter what the answer is. Now, in my own life, fairly recently, I remember when I was about to discover how much I needed that peace that comes with the presence of God. Well, as you probably know, I travel a lot. I've flown more than 3 million miles on one airline alone. Suffice to say, at times, you know, I get tired just like you do. But on this particular day, it felt more than simple travel fatigue. I had the worst headache I'd ever had in my life. I've never had a migraine before, but this certainly felt like friends of mine have described. It was as if there was like an iron band around my head and it was being slowly tightened. So I took two Advil and I lay down in my bed with the lights off, but it didn't lift at all. It just got worse. So I called my doctor's office to see if I could get an appointment that day, but they were swamped with a recent flu epidemic. So Barry decided to take me to a local drop-in clinic. And we waited for a while before a young nurse took me back to a treatment room. My blood pressure was sky high, which was, you know, a little concerning. But I thought if I have the flu, perhaps that might affect it. Well, when the doctor came in, he commented on my blood pressure, then asked me what my main complaint was. I told him I have a terrible headache. And he asked what I now know to be a key medical question. Is this the worst headache you've ever had? I told him it was. The next question changed the atmosphere in that room. Has anyone in your family ever had an aneurysm? When I told him that my dad had a brain aneurysm when he was 34, his body language immediately changed. He stood up and told Barry to take me straight to the closest hospital emergency room. He said, tell them that you need a CT scan with dye and you need it now. Well, we drove in silence to the emergency room and pieces of my dad's story flashed through my mind. His brain aneurysm didn't kill him, but it changed his life and the lives of our whole family. I mean, overnight. The immediate impact was that he was paralyzed down one side and lost the ability to speak. But there was a far, far greater storm on the horizon. As days turned into weeks, his behavior began to deteriorate. He went from being just a loving, kind dad to an angry, unpredictable, and ultimately violent stranger. When it was no longer safe for us to have him in our home, he was taken to our local psychiatric hospital. He managed to escape one night and took his own life, drowning in the river that runs through our town. You know, I've often wondered what was going on in his mind and heart in those last few minutes on this earth. You know, was it regret over the violence and the terror he saw in his children's eyes? Was it despair over his own profound limitations? And only God knows the answer to those questions. Whatever was happening, I know now that my dad, healed and whole, is safely home with Jesus. But as a child, seeing every day the changes that took place in him were terrifying. Growing up, I would have nightmares sometimes that the same thing that hit him like a rogue wave would hit me too. Now driving to the hospital, it felt as if that nightmare might become my reality. I wonder if you've ever been in that kind of place. I'm sure the circumstances might be different, but the impact, you know, the possibilities are the same. What do you do when out of nowhere an unexpected wave hits you? You know, what's your first response when your feet are knocked out from underneath you and you can hardly breathe? You know, we face those moments in life. And these experiences are outside the normal day-to-day challenges that you and I face because they're places that we've never been before. I think of my friend whose husband has a brain tumor. Actually, the woman who stopped me recently in a coffee shop to tell me that she'd just come from her doctor's office and he told her that she has cancer. I mean, the shock on her face was heartbreaking. It's that same look when you're blindsided by a piece of news that nothing could have prepared you for. You know, it's like one moment you're thinking what to cook for dinner, and the next you wonder if you'll be around to cook many more dinners. I love this amazing promise for when life is really, really tough. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I love that. Not hope, but we will find grace when we need it most. Sometimes our need is overwhelming, but God is faithful, always. You know, the best news in this scenario, when you're in a place that you think, I've never been here before, is that Jesus himself gave us a blueprint of how to pray when it's hardest to pray. Remember with me, as the clock continued to count down to Christ's betrayal, he took his friends into the olive grove called Gethsemane. That night, leaving eight of them by the entrance, he took Peter, James, and John further into the garden to be with him. The full extent of what was about to take place washed over Christ in overwhelming waves. He knew what was ahead, and now it was only a few hours away. I have a hard time, honestly, reading the next few verses. We are invited into the very private agony of our Savior. If you've ever asked yourself, how do I pray in this place, this unfamiliar, devastating territory? And listen in, because Jesus invites us into his own. We read, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." We read that in Mark chapter 14. I'm honestly stunned by Christ's vulnerability and brutal honesty here. Even though he has set his face to walk through this hell, there's no hint of bravado, no indication Christ was putting on a brave face. Jesus was honest, crushed with grief to the point of death. Luke, the doctor out of the four gospel writers, gives us a detail that Mark's account omits. It would be significant to a medical man. Luke 22, verse 44 says this, "He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood." The perfect Lamb of God has made it crystal clear there are some things that are simply too hard to face, some things that you can't do on your own. Jesus asked his closest friends to be with him as he prayed. Friends can't take the pain of life away, but they can make us feel less alone. When you're in a Gethsemane of your own, you don't really want another person's words. You just want their presence. Was that why Jesus asked them to watch with him? Perhaps Jesus wanted them to stay awake as he prayed to prepare them for the violent night that lay ahead. Perhaps maybe they were unwitting lookouts for the sound of marching boots and flaming torches so that Jesus could have the time he needed to talk to his Father. As Jesus falls to the ground and begins to pray, it's clear who he is turning to for strength. He is not depending on his friends for strength, but on his Father, his Abba Father. Do you know this is the only recorded time that Jesus calls God Abba? It's such an intimate, personal way for a son to call out to his papa. The term Abba Father is actually only found in Scripture three times, once by Jesus and twice by Paul. Paul used this intimate term in writing to the European church in Rome and to the church in Galatia, which we now know as central Turkey. Abba is an Aramaic word. I've never done this, but if you ever take a trip to Israel, you can hear young children call to their fathers in the crowded marketplaces, "Abba, Papa." In his agony, Christ uses the most familiar and familial term of all, Abba. Jesus prayed two critical things that we need to understand when we face our darkest days. First, he begged for a way out. He cried out, "Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me." I've heard the essence of that prayer from thousands of women over the years in a multitude of ways. "God, you're big enough to take this away. Nothing is impossible for you. I have faith in you. I believe you can change this. I don't want to do this. Please, please take this away. Save my marriage. Heal me. Save my child. You know you can. Please, God. I'm begging you." If Christ begged to be released from what lay ahead, why should we think that it's a lack of faith when we pray that way? You get to be real with God. You're invited to come just as you are right now, emotions raw, heartbroken, and desperate. Well, having wept until we have no tears, no words left, we listen in again as Christ continues to pray. "Nevertheless, I want your will." I have wept with friends as they too have bowed their broken hearts to our God, whose ways are higher than ours, whose thoughts are so far beyond our understanding. Those prayers turn your living room carpet into holy ground. I want my life to glorify you, Lord. I know you could change this, but if that's not your will, I want your will. I don't understand it, but I accept it. I love you. And if this is the way it should be, then I say yes. You and I, we serve a loving Father who weeps with us, who collects our tears. I love this promise in Psalm 56, verse 8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. You know, the traffic was terrible that day as Barry finally got me to the hospital. It's usually bad, but that day it seemed particularly slow. I knew he was anxious and worried as he uncharacteristically honked at the car in front of us to move. That's more like me. But I was somewhere else. What I needed wasn't an answer. I needed Jesus. I put my head back and closed my eyes, and I talked that day to my Abba, to my Father. I don't know what this is. I'm scared. If there's something in my brain that's about to burst, please stop it. I don't want to do this to Christian. It would be too hard. Please help me. Suddenly, the traffic began to move, and before I knew what was happening, Barry and I had pulled outside the emergency room. We walked into a room filled with people, some with desperate looks on their faces and others as if they'd been there since the place was built. In one corner, there was a child crying as his mother held a bloody towel over his arm. Barry told me to take a seat as he talked to the woman at the check-in desk. And I don't know what he said, but I was suddenly taken back to a room, and a young doctor began to ask me questions. Everything happened so quickly. I was changed into a robe, and I was taken back for a CT scan within minutes. I lay flat on my back as the table went into the scanner. It was cold and hard. Things, I don't know if you've ever had one, but things whirred around my head as I was told to lie still and not move. I looked as if I was alone in there, but I wasn't. Here we are, Lord. This is kind of scary. I'm so glad you're with me. See, here's what I think. I'd like there to be nothing wrong, but more than that, I want your will. I really do. You are my everything. This thing bursts and everything changes. You'll still be with me. And you love Barry and Christian more than I could ever do. So right now, I'm letting go. I love you, Jesus. Oh, the scan was over, taken back to a room where we waited, and finally the doctor came in and said, good news, everything is fine. You might be working a bit too hard. Take a day off every now and then he disappeared to the next patient. But you know what I want you to know today? I don't know what you are facing at this moment. I don't know if your circumstances seem overwhelming, but I do want you to know this. Christ, our Savior, Christ, our Lord, has left the perfect blueprint of how to pray in that place. You pour your heart out to Him. And having done that, then we're able to say, you know what, Lord? You're so great and so amazing. And so I want your will to be done. Don't be afraid to show up and be who you really are. Because the more you're able to pour out what's really in you, the more space you've made for the grace that God wants to pour into you. And, you know, we're getting kind of close to the end of our time in our outreach for water. And so I want to take you to a place and show you the difference that we can make when that grace has soaked you and I to the skin. Would you watch this?
These are just some of the diseases and ailments that nearly a billion people are exposed to every single day because their only water source is contaminated.
You know, if you were thirsty in Africa or in many of the remote parts of the world, you'd walk up to a stream like this and say, oh, I've got great water. But what you don't realize is in this area alone, thousands of people got cholera, serious, severe diarrhea. Many people, it cost them their children.
Our mission teams have seen these water conditions firsthand in several countries around the world, and they have ministered to families whose lives are torn apart by sickness and death simply because they had no other choice but to drink contaminated water.
and they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mother loves her so much, and I want to see this little baby live healthy because we've given some fresh water to them.
But there is a simple solution for these families, a clean water well. Life Outreach and its mission partners have the experienced teams and necessary equipment ready to drill hundreds of safe, life-giving water wells around the world.
I cannot tell you how happy this scene makes me. I mean, this is what love is all about, the fulfillment of seeing Life Outreach International water well right here so that these children can grow up and have healthy, happy lives. This is good water. Yes, indeed. And we want to do this over and over again. If you've helped us do this, thank you so much. James and Betty, I bet this makes you very, very happy. But the need is still great. Let's do this again and again and again till this is the norm in Zambia and in villages all around the world. Cheers. The water was clean. The cup, I'm not so sure about. But it was amazing. Because just the day before, we had been in a village where there is no clean water. We had walked with mothers to one of those hand-dug wells, which is so full of contaminated water and all sorts of animal waste and snakes. I mean, it was just horrifying to me. And to see the mums pulling the bucket out and giving that water to their children, it took everything in me to hold myself back because I just wanted to say, don't drink it. But it's all they had. And you go from that one day where I couldn't sleep that night to the next day and to see our name on the side of the well. I mean, the whole team, we went nuts. Life Outreach International, some of you did that. And the difference has made. It's just night and day, death and life. We want to do it again. And honestly, we will put in as many wells as you make possible. And every one of us can do something. You can enter at some level. You know, for $48, you can provide clean water for 10 children. Can you just, I mean, imagine 10 children, and for $48, you're providing clean water for them. Some of you would be able to give a little more. $144 would give clean water for 30 children. And for some of you, perhaps you own a business and you think, well, you know what? I would like us as a company to do something. Wouldn't it be great for you to be in a whole well there and to see Life Outreach International? Sweet lady wrote to me a couple of weeks ago and said that she's put that in her will, that she wants a well to be put in one of the places where we are drilling. You can do that for $4,800. Now, for any gift at all, we're going to send you my new book that I'm excited. I've written a lot of books, but none has actually personally impacted me more than this. So for any gift at all, you'll get Praying Women. For $100, you'll get the Power of Prayer bundle. And for $1,200, a beautiful bronze called A Mother's Strength. We saw that over and over when we were last in Africa. Mothers carrying water on their heads, but we want them to be carrying clean water, giving life to their children. The thing that makes me feel so urgent about this, we're coming to the end soon of our Water for Life campaign, but we promised in so many of these villages that we will go home and we will tell our partners that the need and what a difference clean water makes. Some of these moms get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and walk a long way to stand in line for filthy water. Let's bring the clean water right to their village. Let's make sure these mothers don't have to lose one more child. Would you go to your phone? Would you call that number? Would you give the very best gift possible? Thank you.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Walsh shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Betty, we've seen the effect of the cholera because we've gotten the reports in this area here from just these water sources, and then we went and saw a well. And teacher told us that they're not sick anymore and the kids can come to school.
Isn't that good?
It's a simple solution,
yes, it is.
But it's only simple if people help us.
That's right, James. And the water is such a need, life and death situation, James. I mean, I saw a mother actually drinking the water a while ago, and it broke my heart. But, you know, we have to give them a choice. They don't have a choice right now in so many places all over the world that because they don't have that choice, their bodies are being contaminated with this bad water and their families are dying. We can give them the choice of fresh, clean water. I hope you will.
Thank you so much. If the lines are busy, persevere. We're going to make a difference in Jesus' name. And for any gift at all, I'd love to send you my new book, Praying Women. The content that I'll be shared on this show and in a few other shows, come from that book. I want you and I to become prayer warriors. And I think that the more we pray, the closer we get to the heart of God, the more we want to make an impact in the lives of other people. You know, we're going back to Africa soon, and we want to go back with good news because you cared and you responded and you made a difference. So if you called that number before and the line was busy, just keep calling. Let's determine that not on our watch will this happen. We're going to make a difference in Jesus' name. See you next time. God bless you.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Promise Keepers Ken Harrison explains that true masculinity is found in the absolute surrender to God.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.